Chapter 2
"Janine!" I said to the redhead in the passenger seat, as I swerved to avoid another hailstorm of bullets. "Can you take the wheel?"
"You want me to drive during a high-speed chase?"
Janine gulped.
I can barely handle the speed of my little Grand Prix! Don't you have luck magic?"
Naomi growled as she rolled down the window of the Hummer.
"Just use that, and there's no way we'll crash. I don't know!"
"You gotta drive, Janine," I said in the calmest tone I could muster given the situation. "Unless you started carrying a pistol around and can return fire, I need to be helping Naomi."
"Okay,"
Janine whispered, and then she reached over and grabbed onto the wheel with her left hand. Janine's changeling magic took over, and both her hands and the steering wheel began to glow yellow. "Cover me, Naomi!" I commanded the witch in the back seat as I took off my seatbelt and began to roll down the window.
"What are you doing?"
Naomi demanded as she blasted a shot of her silver magic at our pursuers. "I'll follow you, but I can do more good in my other form."
"Be careful, Carter,"
Janine warned as she prepared to slide into the driver's seat. "You guys are the ones getting shot at. I'll be fine."
"Make sure nobody sees you either,"
the redhead warned.
"The last thing we need is the local news breathing down our necks."
"Have you seen this part of town?" I scoffed as I pointed around us. "There's not a single car on the road and nobody's walking around at this hour. Don't worry about me."
"If you're really that worried, I can cast a cloaking spell,"
Naomi suggested, and I gave her a nod. With that, I popped open the door of our Hummer and then did a tuck and roll out of the vehicle. The second I was clear of the interior, I commanded my body to transform, and I felt the tendons in my arms stretch out as my muscles expanded, and my hair became dark, thick fur all over my body. My ears transformed into cat ears as my snout elongated, and four deadly sharp teeth sprouted to replace the human canines in my mouth. I hit the ground running on all fours as another blast of Naomi's silver magic shot past me, and I glanced up in time to watch the witch pull a bunch of bricks off a nearby building. The bricks slammed into one of the pursuing vehicles, smashed through its windshield, and sent the car spinning out of control. There was a sickly crunch as the car's front end wrapped itself around a pole, and the people inside were violently thrown out onto the sidewalk. One car down, four to go. I instantly jumped up onto the side of a nearby building, dug my claws into it, and then used my own momentum to propel myself up the wall. I heard bullets hit the area where I'd just been as I jumped upward, and I knew that if I stopped for even a second, I was going to get torn in half. Soon I found myself at the rooftop, so I pulled myself over to safety. Then it was time for me to get to work. They'd seen me go up the side of the building, but now that I was out of sight, those fuckers had no clue where I was. Thanks to a bit of Bast's magic, I was practically invisible in the darkness, and my padfoot abilities allowed me to move around without making a single sound. I heard the car's tires screech as they went around a corner, so I took off toward the next nearest building. Once I reached the edge of the rooftop, I crouched down and jumped off, and I glanced down at the street below as I silently passed over. Then I landed with a roll on the second rooftop, before I took off at a full sprint to catch up to Janine and Naomi. I stayed down on all fours as I ran to keep myself hidden, until finally I was ready to make my move. Our attackers were heading straight for the building I was on, which meant that if I timed my jump right, I could pounce right down on top of them. I sprang off the building and plummeted down to the ground with the speed of a bowling ball dropped from a tower. Then I landed directly on top of the black Mustang at the back of the fleet, and there was no sound when my feet hit the cold metal roof. Damn, Bast really did make me the ultimate stealth-killing machine. Even over the roaring engine and the wind that whipped past my face, I could hear the heartbeats of the men inside the vehicle. There were only two of the bastards inside, one driver and one gunner. Ha! This is going to be easier than I thought. "Eyes on the fucking road, dumbass!" the gunner screamed at his driver.
"Where the hell did the bastard of Bast go?" the driver demanded. "I don't like this shit."
Ooh, if he didn't like it now, then he was going to really hate what came next. I unsheathed the claws in my right paw and then waited for the gunner to finish reloading. The second I saw his bald, ski-cap-wearing head pop out of the car, I reached down and stabbed all five of my claws into his head. There was a wet squish as his blood and brain matter spilled out against my foot pads, and he yelped and then went limp as I pulled him out of the Mustang completely. I closed my fist the rest of the way, and the top half of his skull exploded like a ripe melon underneath my grip. Bits of bone, blood, and brain sprayed into the air as his headless body collapsed to the pavement below, and then it tumbled away as the driver continued forward.
"Mac!" the driver gasped. "Jesus, fuck!"
The Mustang began to swerve, so I sunk my claws into the roof and held on for dear life. Then I stabbed the claws of my other hand into the metal and peeled the fucking thing back like I was opening a can of sardines. I saw the driver's blue eyes widen with fear as he looked up at the 8-foot-tall panther above him, and then he reached down for his gun. I was too fast for the bastard. I snarled as my head shot forward, and I snapped my jaws shut around his skull with a gnarly crunch. He wailed in agony as I picked him up out of his seat and then shook him violently back and forth, until finally I heard the wet pop of his spinal cord snapping, and his body went limp. I let go of the man's corpse and then leapt off the vehicle seconds before it crashed into a nearby building, and then I continued on toward the remaining 3 cars. Now I could see all 3 of them were muscle cars of various sorts, though they were jet black, probably in an attempt to disguise themselves from their victims. There was another Mustang, a Charger, and a Camaro left, and for half a second I felt bad about the fact I'd have to destroy them all. Then I remembered these assholes were trying to kill us, and I suddenly didn't feel too bad. The gunner in the Charger must have seen the commotion behind him, because he turned his pistol toward me and began to fire. I flipped away from the hailstorm of bullets, and then I took off toward the nearby alleyway. Once I was clear of danger, I tried to think up my next plan of attack. If I ran at full speed, I might just be able to cut off our pursuers when they rounded the block, and then I'd have the chance to take out at least 1 more car. My adrenaline pumped through my veins as I ran forward and then out into the other side of the building, and then I headed toward the intersection to the north of my position. I could hear the sound of our Hummer approaching, followed by the roaring engines of the 3 muscle cars. Then I saw our beloved Hummer whip around the corner. Janine gripped the steering wheel with her glowing yellow hands, and her brown eyes were as wide as dinner plates. Meanwhile, Naomi hung her top half out of the back window of the car, as she continued to pick up random items with her telekinetic magic and then throw them at her pursuers. I ran toward our Hummer, met it halfway, and flipped up into the air, and then used its roof as a springboard to launch myself at our enemies. I landed squarely on the hood of the Charger, and the driver let out a yelp before he began to swerve uncontrollably to try and throw me off. I dug my rear claws into the hood, and right before I could be thrown off, I lifted up my paws, clasped them together, and then brought them down like a hammer right onto the vehicle. The impact from the blow crumpled the Charger's hood like it was made of styrofoam, and sent the entire nose of the car down into the ground with a spray of sparks. The next thing I knew, the entire vehicle flipped up into the air, so I simply rolled away to safety, and then jumped up in time to watch it smash into the ground. There was a sickening metal crunch as the Charger flipped over on itself 4 times, and then it skidded to a stop on its roof. I could hear the heartbeats of the 2 men inside still beating, though they were a bit more sluggish than usual. If they weren't dying, then they were at least severely injured. I'd come back for those assholes later, if they were still alive when I was done with their friends. There were only 2 cars left, the second Mustang and the Camaro. Oh, fuck, I felt bad that I had to destroy a Camaro. It had always been my dream car, and I'd always fantasized about just getting a shitty part-time job and then using every penny I made there to save up for one of those bad boys. Then again, maybe with all of the profit Cincy's Jewel was pulling in, my dream could actually become a reality. Or maybe I'd just kill the driver and gunner in this car and steal it. Nah, I didn't want a jet-black Camaro. I wanted a sexy, bright green one that matched my eyes. This one had to go. I took off toward the 2 remaining vehicles, both of which had their attention split between myself and our Hummer. I heard an angry swarm of bullets as they erupted from the Camaro's passenger window, and I was forced to dive to the left as a hailstorm of gunfire rained down on my position. I didn't let my dodge break my stride, though, and I quickly flipped back to my feet and bounded toward the 2 cars as fast as I could. Even though I had superhuman agility, it soon became obvious I wasn't going to catch the cars on foot. But an idea popped into my mind as I flipped out of the way of another onslaught of bullets. Maybe I couldn't use my legs to propel me fast enough to catch up to my enemies, but I just might be able to use my brute strength to get there with a little bit of effort. Another spray of bullets pelleted the ground at my feet as I rolled away from the attack. This time, though, I used my momentum to carry me forward, and I jumped up onto the side of a nearby building. Then I used every bit of strength in my body to launch myself forward, and I went flying through the air like I'd just been shot out of a cannon. I made sure I stayed close to the buildings around me, which I then used as leverage to propel myself even further. Eventually, I was right up alongside the black Camaro, and I could see the fear in the gunner's eyes as he fumbled to shove a new magazine in his AR-15. Now was my chance. I pushed all 4 of my paws up against the building before I backflipped off the damn thing and began to plummet back down to earth. I must have timed my jump just slightly off because I didn't end up on the hood or the roof of the Camaro, but instead my feet slammed into the trunk. The plastic spoiler shattered under my weight, But I didn't even give it a moment's thought before I reached down, grabbed one of the jagged bits of the spoiler that remained, and pulled it off the car's body. The man in the passenger seat of the Camaro finally finished reloading his weapon and then started to turn it toward me. He didn't stand a fucking chance. I leapt forward, unsheathed the claws in my right hand, and then knocked the gun away like a rhino batting away a fly. The man's eyes widened as he seemed to reach down for another weapon, but I finished him off quickly by stabbing the jagged bit of plastic spoiler into his temple. The gunman's eyes rolled back in his head as the makeshift shiv stabbed through the thin part of his skull and into his brain, and then his body collapsed forward and hung out the window of the car like a marionette with its strings cut. Suddenly, I sensed my invisible eye go off again, so I jumped back to avoid whatever potential danger was afoot. Just as I did so, a few bullets tore through the roof of the Camaro and turned it into fucking Swiss cheese from the inside out.
"Ah, eat lead, bastard of bast!"
the driver snarled as he continued to shoot through his roof. I quickly flipped forward to avoid another round of gunfire, which put me right on the hood of the car. Without even thinking, I spun around, tossed my right foot forward, and smashed the windshield of the vehicle without much effort. Then I unsheathed my claws and my foot and stabbed them into the driver's jugular. He screamed as my claws pierced his flesh, and then gurgled out a wheezing exhalation of air when I tore away a massive chunk of his neck with a wet squelch. Blood erupted out of his artery like Old Faithful, and he weakly tried to put pressure on his wound as he let go of the wheel. I sprang off the car just as he lost control of the vehicle, and I didn't even look back to make sure he was dead before I moved on to my final target. I didn't have to, either. The sound of the Camaro slamming into a nearby building told me I didn't have to worry about that asshole anymore. And then there was one. The final black Mustang was still in hot pursuit of our Hummer, which whipped around the corner and out of sight.
Damn,
I growled to myself. There was no way I was going to catch up to them now, whether I tried to by foot or by building. The only chance I had to help out Naomi and Janine was to try and cut them off again. I looked back at the Camaro, but it was smashed beyond redemption. The driver's blood had slowed to a trickle as he slumped over the wheel, and smoke seemed to be billowing out from under the crumpled hood. I definitely wasn't going to be able to hang on to that one. I flipped up onto a nearby building and then scaled it like Spider-Man until I reached the top. Once I was up there, I really focused on the sounds of the city as I tried to isolate the noise of my Hummer's engine. Soon, the familiar chuffing of pistons and purring of the engine echoed through my eardrums, and I realized they were about 4 blocks away to the southeast. So I turned toward the commotion and took off like a bat out of hell. I pounced across the dark rooftops of the city as I attempted to intercept our pursuers, until I finally came to an open swath of road without any cars or parking meters or anything to get in the way. Then I flipped down to the ground, just as Janine came around the corner and began to rocket toward me. Meanwhile, the black Mustang was in hot pursuit of my friends, as they fired round after round at the Hummer. I was getting real sick of this shit. When I looked around the area, all I could see were the storefronts, the sidewalks, and a few smaller lamp posts that illuminated the street. That was it. The lamp post. I ran over to the closest metal pole, sunk my claws into it, and then I lifted up as hard as I could. The sound of tearing steel rang out in the night, and a few sparks flew out of the pole's base when the electrical cords snapped inside. But the pole was free and in my hands, and I fully intended to use it. I turned around and locked eyes with Janine, who was now only about 150 feet away from where I stood.
"Move!"
I commanded my lover, as I hauled the lamppost over my shoulder like a javelin. I had no idea if Janine actually heard my words or not, but it was clear she got the message. The redhead jerked the wheel to her left, and the yellow Hummer followed suit, which left the Mustang wide open. A guttural primal roar erupted from deep within me, as I took a large step forward and launched the lamppost forward, and the dark metal pole shot across the landscape before its end smashed through the windshield of the Mustang and straight into its driver's chest. The velocity of the projectile must have carried it through the other side of the car, because the entire thing instantly lost its momentum and flipped end over end. I watched with a smug grin as the dark sports car rolled over itself with a few splashes of sparks and the eardrum-shattering shriek of its metal sliding across the pavement. But when it finally came to a stop, my ears detected a heartbeat. The gunner was still alive. I charged at the vehicle, just as the passenger woozily pulled himself out of the wreckage and tried to get to his feet. However, his priorities suddenly changed when he saw the 8-foot-tall werepanther running toward him.
"Oh, shit, 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 shit!"
he mumbled, and tried to pull the pistol on his hip out of its holster, but he was too dazed. His fingers reached for the gun, but they didn't seem to be able to unfasten the button or even get their grip around the weapon's handle. I closed the gap on the bastard in seconds, but I didn't kill him. Instead, I simply reached down, ripped the gun out of its holster, and then threw it across the road and far out of sight. The stupid fucker tried to take a swing at me with a right hook, but it felt like I'd just been hit by a toddler. Meanwhile, there was a painful crack at his wrist, and the man yelped in pain as his hand was bent backwards from the blow. I simply slammed my left paw down onto the fucker's shoulder, and he went down onto his knees instantly. At the same time, the yellow Hummer skidded to a stop nearby, and Janine and Naomi both jumped out and started to come to my aid. Thankfully, Naomi's cloaking spell must have been working like a charm, because the streets were still empty, and no cops had been called yet.
Sorry we weren't more help.
Janine sighed as she approached. What are you talking about? You guys nailed it. Plus, Naomi killed both of the dudes in that first car.
That's right,
the witch said with a sarcastic snort.
I did all the heavy lifting.
Now, I growled as I looked down at the man in my grasp. You'd better start talking. There wasn't anything too unusual about this man. He wore a simple ratty gray t-shirt, a ski mask, and some blue jeans, and his eyes were a plain flat brown. Then my prisoner spat at my feet, so I figured it was time to show him what I was capable of. I unsheathed my claws as I marginally tightened my grip on the fucker's shoulder, and he let out a wail of agony as his collarbone fractured in my grasp.
I'd suggest you listen to the Werepanther,
Naomi warned the man.
There are many, many more things he can do to get you to talk, and I assure you none of them would be fun in the slightest.
All right,
the man sputtered around a gasp of pain.
What do you want to know? Who are you working for? The OLG? We're all members of the Ancient Order of the Nile. Keck wanted us to kill you for him.
Of course he did. Just like Khonzu, never wanting to actually fight his own battles.
What the fuck is the Ancient Order of the Nile?
Naomi asked, and then looked at Janine.
Any clues, Smarty Pants?
I know they're a Keck-worshipping cult,
Janine admitted.
But that's really the extent of my knowledge.
Okay, so you worship Keck, I continued, as I glared down at our captive. Do you have a headquarters? A meeting place we might be able to raid? Where are the rest of your brothers?
I can't,
the man whimpered.
I've already said too much.
Before he could finish his sentence, I squeezed again, and his collarbone completely shattered into tiny fragments.
What was that? I can't really hear you clearly.
Oh, please, please just stop. We always met.
Suddenly, the words seemed to get caught in the man's throat, and his eyes widened through the holes on his ski mask, and then the sounds that came from his mouth started to sound watery. Soon the man was full on gagging as he writhed in pain, and when I ripped off his mask, some sort of dark magic traced the veins of his face.
What's happening?
Janine gasped.
Somebody's trying to keep him quiet,
I hissed as I laid the man down onto his back. For a split second, I thought about trying to give the man mouth to mouth and trying to resuscitate him, but I knew that wasn't the smart play. Besides, it was already too late. He was now thrashing about like he was having a seizure, all while he choked on the liquid that had somehow just appeared in his throat. Finally, the man's body turned rigid, and he let out a final gurgle as dark, murky black liquid began to overflow out of his open mouth and trickle down his cheeks like dark liquid tendrils. His eyes were fixed straight up at the sky with a completely dead stare, and I knew he was gone.
Fuck, I whispered to myself. He was going to tell us everything.
Which is why Keck silenced him,
Janine said with a frown.
Still, we need to figure out more about this Ancient Order of the Nile as soon as we can. If they really serve Keck, and they truly are out for my blood, then that's one more major obstacle we'll have to deal with.
I bet Ada would know about them,
Janine said before her frown deepened.
Though I'm a bit perturbed that I don't. What kind of occultist scholar misses an entire sect dedicated to worshipping the god of chaos?
A human one? Now, let's get the fuck out of here before somebody calls the cops.
I put a cloaking spell on our vehicle the second those headlights appeared,
Naomi explained.
Nobody saw us while we were inside.
The problem is that I was outside quite a bit.
Then it's a very good thing this part of town is so deserted,
Naomi mused.
I don't think anybody lives within 10 miles of this area.
Good, but we still need to get the fuck out of here. The illusion won't last forever, and I sure as hell don't want to stick around for when the cops find all these bodies.
I'll call Ada,
Naomi suggested.
I bet her cleaners can take care of it.
Let's hope so,
I mused, though I was a tad doubtful since the carnage spanned a few city blocks.
I promise I didn't mean to make such a mess.
With that, I shifted back down into my human form, where I was clad only in a pair of spandex boxer shorts. Then I sauntered over to the Hummer's driver's side door, pulled it open, and hopped up inside. The second Janine and Naomi were seated, I revved the engine and took off like a speeding bullet. The three of us remained silent as we headed back to Cincy's Jewel, and I knew we were all thinking the same thing. If it hadn't been for my invisible eye ability, those men probably would have gotten the jump on us, and none of us wanted to imagine what would have happened if they'd actually succeeded in ambushing us. Still, the silence was deafening as we drove. The last thing we needed right now was another major player on the game board, but right now it looked like that was exactly what we were going to get. I just hoped the Ancient Order of the Nile proved to be as easy to deal with as the OLG and its followers. And if not, well, then we were going to have to come up with a new solution. And fast.